The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning us in on Still Just Fishing Show. We've got Captain Chris Nichols here and Ted Hartman.
Good morning.
This morning. So, anyway, give us a call if you like. 222-8255. And, boy, we had some, I saw low tides yesterday. And, you know, being that we've had that strong wind, of course, we had a, night before last, we had a tree fall down across the line, down the street there and, you know, knocked us out of power. Didn't get power again till yesterday morning about 10 o'clock. So, you know, being without power like that, I was glad it wasn't really cold yet.
How long was you out?
From about 10:15, what was it, Thursday night? Yeah, from 10:15 Thursday night till about 10:30 Friday morning.
Man, 12 hours.
Wow. Yeah, and I like, you know how Comcast is. You know, you call Comcast and say, hey, you know, we don't have no...
you mean JEA?
No, Comcast. Okay. Yeah, I mean, JEA came out and fixed it. You know, they had to fix several things.
Oh, theirs was out too.
But because the tree fell across and knocked all the lines off the poles, you know. And the tree went all the way across the road, but out there where I live, you had all those rednecks out there, you know. Somebody just attached it to a truck, pulled it out of the road, and just
did
went on.
Did you hear it? When it hit,
No, it was down the street from me. But I thought it was kind of funny, you know, when I called Comcast. They said, well, they're working on it right now. And you may not be able, I said, well, I don't see anybody. And they go, well, you may not be able to see them because they have different little, you know, the cabinets that they work in and all around the neighborhood and all stuff. I said, well, if they're working in a cabinet, they're not going to get it fixed because I'm looking at, and when I called them, I was on the way home from Home Depot. I said, I'm looking at the line that's detached from the pole laying in the ditch with a tree over it. I said, so if he's working in another neighborhood to fix this, good luck.
Hey, Vic,
they just tell you that, you know, they're working on it, you know.
And on your street, it's not like you can detour around that
ditch. No, it's dead end.
Yes. You got a serious ditch, a drainage ditch.
Yeah.
Right there. People get stuck in it a lot?
No, uh-uh.
No?
No, there was one car.
I was looking at that. It was real dark. And I was like, keep it between the ditches here. Yeah.
No, there was one car run off in it years ago, but some guys that was, you know, horsing around with the car and running up and down the road, and they wound up in that 8-foot deep ditch. So,
you ever seen it fill up with water?
Yes, I have.
Oh boy, yeah. That's a pretty good ditch there.
It's about probably 8-foot deep.
I don't know how you make that turn coming out with your long boat there.
Gotta be about real careful. Getting in is worse than getting out.
It is. Yeah, that night I come over.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I was like, how in the world does Houdini get that boat in?
Yeah, it's only a 13-foot wide gate, and you gotta, the road's only so wide because of that ditch over there. Let's get John on real quick. Morning, John.
Oh yeah. My name's Josh, but I'm driving, so it's probably hard to hear.
Oh, okay.
Morning.
My question is, I'm calling regarding, I just moved and I live by the Lonnie Warren boat ramp. And it's kind of a hard boat ramp to get in and out of on a low tide because it's so short.
Yeah.
But who do I need to talk to? Do I need to talk to a councilman or whoever to try to get them to extend that out maybe another 20 or 30 feet? Or is it even worth the effort?
What would they be extending?
The concrete to the ramp. You know what I mean? If you roll your boat in, you roll your trailer down, the trailer just kind of drops off.
Oh, wow,
that's not good.
You know what I mean? So you kind of got to ease her down, but on a low tide, you know, unless you're a kayaker or maybe a little 14-foot skiff, you're not really able to use it, which in the neighborhood, you really don't want anybody else back there. But, you know, if I can walk to the boat ramp, I'd like to be able to use that boat ramp at any time.
Yeah.
Hey, Vic, do you think it has anything to do with these super low tides?
Well, that also hurts you if it's super low tide like we're having. We're having a super moon, which some people say we're not going to have a super moon till March. But, Anyway, John, what I would tell you is, talk to Captain Jim Suber, and he's the waterways coordinator with the city of Jacksonville, and see if there's any proposed plans for that, because they have been doing improvements on boat ramps around. Of course, ever since the hurricane, a couple of years ago, they've been slowly getting them done, but they are doing, he's the one to talk to, I would imagine. And you can look him up on Facebook and messaging that way.
I don't Facebook. Find him on city website or something?
Yeah, you can probably find him on city website. It's Suber, Suber. His first name is Jim, and he's the waterways coordinator for the city of Jacksonville. So,
all right, good deal. If my property taxes are going into the city, I want the area I live in to get improved. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I understand that.
And all right. Well, I'll give them a call and see where, at least get the ball rolling.
Okay. And like I said, they have been doing improvements even for some of the ramps that were not damaged. So,
flatboard's gotten real big. We ain't got no restaurants or no money going in. So it's going to be hard to give them take the money I'm paying in taxes to put in my neighborhood.
Well, and like I said, they may already have plans for that. So, that's who you want to check on to see, because some of these things take a couple of years to do because of the design works and the permits. So, extending that concrete would take the DER permits, know. So DER doesn't get in any rush for the permits, I can tell you that. So, that's in part Department of Environmental Regulation. And a lot of times they have to go through them, So, but anyway, I'd give him a call and see if there's anything in the works. And if not, maybe, a complaint from you and maybe a couple of the neighbors out there, they can get something in the works.
All right. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome, John.
Have a good day.
Thanks for the call. They're talking about the super moon. The first super moon of the year is this weekend, and that's one of the reasons we're going to have some real low tides. We had low tides yesterday, being it was a minus tide, but then what we had was also west-southwest winds the past 2 days, very strong. Yeah. And it was kind of weird because out there where I live, I'm about 300 feet off the road, so the street lights is way up there on the road. But I got outdoor lights and all. But anyway, I heard the wind getting harder and harder and harder. And they've already had a couple of tornado watches, in Columbia County and mm-hmm. Baker County. So I go to the door, and stand there at the door. And I'm looking at the wind getting more and more. And they said it could be up to 70 miles an hour, 50 mm-hmm. to 70 miles an hour. So
did you see Pelosi go by looking on her bicycle?
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. So I'm watching, the moss in the trees and the limbs that are, little limbs that are falling and, stuff like that. And right when the wind gets, pretty strong, then all of a sudden the lights just went out. My outdoor lights went out. My inside went out. I mean, it's like everything went out. I was like, doggone, I can't see nothing. So I stepped outside, trying to see, and there was no moon because it was raining and cloudy. So
yeah.
I was watching that Nexus. You ever watch that? It was coming across this radar, and I said it's hitting Chris's house right about now. And then he texted us and said, "Ooh wee!"
Did you get good rain
right at that same time?
Yeah, we went. I went from okay, this is going to be another Cain's offerings to the Lord in rainfall here. Right, a couple little drops. Next thing I know, it's like a Niagara Falls coming off the roof. I was like, oh, yeah.
It was funny because, I was going next door there and was going to go lock the house up. And all of a sudden, it started pouring down rain. I was like, oh, man, good. The yard's going to get wet. And like 2 minutes, it completely stopped.
I got a lot in that little two minutes.
Yeah, and then, it started up again, but it was probably another 45 minutes later before it started again. But I was like, really? That's all we get?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a minute and a half or something,
It was moving.
Yeah, it was. It was moving fast. Give us a call, 222-8255. We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning and talking about some real low tides. I know today, see, we're going to have a high tide at 7:19 this morning at Mayport, 5.3 high tide. And then a 1:33 p.m. at a minus 0.9. And tomorrow at 2:19 p.m., you're going to have a low tide of a minus 1.1. And then Monday will be a minus 1.2, Tuesday a minus 1.2, and then it starts coming back up on Wednesday to a minus 1.1, Thursday minus 0.9. So looking at those tides like that, I mean, you know, I know a lot of people don't like, you know, fishing on the full moon or fishing on, you know, when the tides are super low. I like it myself because, you know, the reds will be in different places, you know, that you are normally seeing them because the tides are low. They have to move out a little bit further from the shorelines or things like that. So yeah, you kind of target them a little bit differently, but I like it because some of these creeks that hold a foot of water at low tide, where these reds can be up in there 8 inches to a foot, you know, those are going to be bone dry. So those things have, they have to come out. Now, the thing I don't like about the super tides like that is you're going to have a lot more current, you know. I mean, you're going, you know, you're going to go from, like today is a 5.3 high tide. Tomorrow is a 5.6. Monday is a 5.6 high tide, which is, you know, higher than normal. But then we're going to have a little bit of east-northeast winds, it looks like, or northeast. Let me see here. Yeah, they're talking about a northeast wind tomorrow, 10 to 15 knots. And matter of fact, today, northeast winds 10 to 15 knots. So that's going to put it a little bit higher, and it's actually not going to let it get quite as low as what it was yesterday and the day before. But, you know, then it's going to turn right around on Monday and be southwest wind. That's going to help put it back out low again. Because those west winds we were talking about, man, really, you know.
I've never seen the ebb tide run so hard straight off the ramp near my house.
Yeah.
As it did. I mean, it was just screaming.
You know, what I found is these tides make it really nice for hunting those redfish in those back creeks, because they can't stay in there because all the water comes out.
Yeah, and that's why.
And they're going to head to the channels in those creeks, because it's the only way in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And when that tide drops as fast as it does, they're going to hit them channels there, and it's like, okay, here, they're easy to find.
Yeah.
And, I'm betting they don't
be right there in that channel.
They probably don't want to run any further from where they want to be than they have to. So, like you're saying.
They'll come out and stage in areas and then go back in, you know, in the same areas they go back in on the incoming tide. Yeah. And generally, you'll have, you know, we talk about different fish going different places and all. That you certainly do have, you know, fish going in other areas that they don't normally go in. That you wouldn't find them in it sometimes, but because of the tides like that, when it gets extreme high, you know, fishing around high tide for these reds, I mean, sometimes they go way up in these creeks and then get into flooded grass, and that's kind of a problem at times to see them if it's not flooded enough to actually, you know, do some tail and red fishing, but flooded just enough that they can get in there and you can't, you know.
Question, mm-hmm. Did you go back and get your cell phone?
Oh,
no, super low tide.
No, because I hadn't been on the water for a few days. But, you know, but yeah, I mean, that was in about 8 or 9 feet of water, so it would really have to be.
That ain't going to work.
Besides where it's at,
I think it'll still be well covered.
Each end of that would be bone dry. It only have water in that, probably, I'm going to say about 500 feet. Or 400 feet, something like that, of that creek that's deeper. But each end of that would be bone dry, especially the end of it on the intercoastal, because that already goes bone dry on a normal low tide, so it's going to really be bone dry. So that's the time to not look too much up in these small creeks on the outgoing tide.
You don't want to get caught in there.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's you might be in there for a lot longer than you think, you know. And there again, when you go to flooded grass, you want to kind of watch, you know, your tides and your wind direction when you do the flooded grass things. Because I know some people put their boats up and anchor them up to the grass and go walking to it. I've seen too many rattlesnakes out there, you know, swimming from island to island and through the marsh grass. So I don't do that anymore. I stay in the boat. But there's places, you know, that you can go in, a lot of places, you know, hundreds of places. You can go in your boat and actually get up in the flooded grass and easily get the momentum of the boat going with the trolling motor, turn it off and drift up into the grass. And, you know, usually making the noise getting in there, you wait about, 15, 20 minutes, you know, quiet, you start seeing tails, you know. But when you're doing that, you got to watch that grass, because you'll have that film that's up in the water. You know, there's kind of a, because you don't have no current up in those flooded grass places, you'll have that film that just kind of rises with the water.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever that thing drops and you see that little black film across the grass when it's about an inch to an inch and a half higher than the water, you better get out of there.
Yeah, that bathtub ring. You gotta pay attention to that thing.
It's not like hitting a, you know, a sandbar at low tide where you might have to wait there an hour and a half, you know, for the tide to start coming back in. If you're up there, you know, the tides are 6 hours and 20 minutes apart.
And there's some serious water moving too.
Yeah, so you got to wait till the next high tide to get back out of there. So you have to really watch what you're doing because the next high tide's 12 hours away.
Yeah, I was just thinking about them rattlesnakes. I bet they got better action than that Fight Club on the wiggle.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some big ones, let me tell you.
Yeah. I used to have this. You ever seen those little plastic boats that look like pontoon boats? And they were little bass boats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I used to have one that I just put a trolling motor on and go out to Huguenot, just back the truck up to the water and drag it off into there. And when that tide drops, there's so many sandbars out there. There's nowhere for them fish to go but in those little channels. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and just have a blast with trout and flounder
probably
out there.
Probably whiting out there, too.
Yeah, and I mean, that sandbar just comes up. You can just sit there and troll around with a little trolling motor all day long and just have a blast out
there. That Huguenot Inlet right there, the big area between the beaches and the bridge. I have some pictures from back in the 80s. That area has
totally
so changed.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not like it was in the 80s, for sure, you know. But, you know, you got to watch it when you're in a bigger boat than that plastic boat you're talking about. Because, you know, in a kayak, stuff like that, you can still do it. Mm-hmm. But if you're in a bigger boat and you get there, the way the sand has worked its way around in there, you can get locked in there for a while if you're not careful.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's
that's a good area for fishing at high tide, especially for trout and flounder and stuff like that. And, you know, what about the flounder here lately? I can't get over to people catching flounder. This is crazy.
I haven't seen that many pictures of them, but I've been hearing about it.
Yeah. It's, you know, that people have been catching them, and more so around St. Augustine and in Palm Valley, like where, you know, Leon, Dana, and Chip Wingo's fishing. But there are some up here, too.
I think the one I saw catch, I only saw, like, one flounder catch posted. And I think that was from Guana. I'm not sure. Guana or that area down that way.
Yeah, I'm just surprised at the time of the year. I mean, we know there's, you know, a couple hanging around all winter, you know, here. I mean, people catch one here, one there. We caught one float fishing, what was it, week before last, I think it was. You know, we were float fishing for trout and caught one. And just to kind of show you how close to the bottom I try to float that shrimp, you know, we caught a flounder. Mm-hmm. He was small, though, but we didn't keep him. He was legal size, but, you know.
You know, years ago.
He was like 12 and a half inches, so we let him go.
At Huguenot, when them dunes that were like two stories high out there, it's all ended up out there in that little bay area there. And before all that took place, used to come in right there where the bridge is. Mm. That's where you drove in, and you just went around the.
Yeah, wasn't no ranger station. Or
no.
Yeah.
And all through there, when I was a kid, you can sit and gig flounder all night long in there, and they just lay up in there all up and down.
Was it always grassy up against that west bank?
No.
That west part of the lagoon?
Nope. It was all sand right there. There was some of them palm trees are still there that were there from way back.
Yeah, those dunes that they used to have out there, I mean, people used to go out there with them beach buggies and ride up and down them and stuff, you know, and of course all that got stopped. But
yeah, I heard that was wild back in the day.
Oh, it was. Yeah. I spent a few nights out there all night.
Yeah, we did.
I used up a lot of Coleman fuel out there night fishing.
Yeah, you know, you go out there and you start partying and stuff, and, you know, you didn't want to drive home, so you just, you know. Kind of crashed out in the front seat of the car or whatever. Anyway, 222-8255. Give us a call. We'll be back.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. With urgency rising in their nomination battle, Democratic presidential frontrunners Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg beat back a barrage of attacks during a debate in New Hampshire last night. The Democrats' top presidential contenders clashed repeatedly over experience and the argument over who has the best ability to beat President Trump. The debate tested the strength of a new frontrunner, former Midwestern Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and struggling former Vice President Joe Biden, as well as Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Iowa Democrats were recovering from a number of disappointments after Monday's Iowa caucuses, though one has received less attention than the others. About 176,000 Iowans attended their precinct caucuses. That's fewer than expected, and 62,000 less than the party's high-water mark set back in 2008. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow was down by 277 points. This is SRN News.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, invites you to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Wednesday Bible Q&A with fellowship meal. They're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in the heart of Mandarin, just 1 mile south of I-295.
Do you know who was voted the Bold City's best plumber? Roland Reisch Plumbing. Here's why. Roland Reisch Plumbing promises great work on time and does it. The good news spreads fast. For all plumbing issues, large or small, you want the Bold City's best. Click plumberinjax.com. Your friends and neighbors have used them, and that's why they went to jacksonville.com to vote Roland Reisch Plumbing Jacksonville's top plumber. 24/7, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by, whether it's routine work or a middle-of-the-night emergency. Just call 904-260-7059. If you have a leak, can't wait a week, please call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Roland Reisch Plumbing is proud to have been voted Bold City's best plumber. They intend to stay number one. Call 904-260-7059. Call 904-260-7059.
Is it time for a new roof? Get your roofing job done right. Call Sears Roofing right now for a free in-home estimate. That's Sears Roofing. Not available in all areas. Installation provided by Sears Authorized Licensed Contractors. License information available upon request. Call Sears Roofing right now. 1-888-990-2233. That's 1-888-990-2233. 1-888-990-2233. Sears.
Can the economy get even better in a second Trump term? We'll discuss in studio with Trump advisor Stephen Moore on the Next America First with me, Dr. G. Then recap the State of the Union with former special assistant to the president, Boris Epstein, and former acting attorney general, Matt Whitaker, will analyze the potential Senate acquittal of the president. Plus, as usual, our weekly crazy California update with Los Angeles radio host, Jennifer Horn.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Weekdays 3 till 5 on WBOB. How will the weather affect you? WBOB weather.
It'll be sunny through Monday with highs mid to upper 60s through Sunday, 78 on Monday. Partly cloudy through Monday night, down to about 46 tonight, mid 50s Sunday night, 63 on Monday night. Mostly cloudy Tuesday and Tuesday night, 30% chance of showers. Highs of 81, lows of 62.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning, and I got Wingo on there. Sounds like he's on the road.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good morning, Chip.
How you doing, buddy?
Seems like I spend my time on the road or on the water a lot.
You must be heading north.
Yeah, I go out and check the house after that storm. That was a pretty big one that came through the other day up there.
Yeah, we had some big winds here. What area is that you're heading to? Is it anywhere around Nahanna or?
It's north of Douglas, around McRae.
Okay.
So, yeah, they had some pretty heavy duty stuff come through the other day, so it'll be interesting to see what's happened up there. So I came home Friday in it, but beat it. Only stuck. Oh, it was only in it for an hour, but you know, it was windy. Got home, it was nice, but on the way home, it wasn't. So, but bite's been good this past week. Before the wind hit, redfish are chewing hard. We found some really big schools down south, and you know, and then back in the creeks and things of that nature. Reds, trout bite's been solid. Tons of flounder. I cannot believe how many flounder are around right now. It's insane. So,
yeah, you know, that's what I was talking about earlier. I can't get over the flounder pictures I've seen. You know, for this time of the year, it's just, I mean, you know, I'd mentioned we always see, you know, a flounder here and a flounder there in the wintertime. But for, you know, for the bite that's been happening here, it's just kind of crazy.
Well, when you can go out and, as a bycatch, you know, catch anywhere from 6 to 10, 11 fish that are legal, you know, that's kind of crazy.
It is.
So, you know, and a lot of them are actually in the creeks and the holes. You know, you find a creek that at low tide's got 6 to 8 feet plus water in it, and it's blanketed with flounder. You know, and there's actually, it's really surprising, there's a lot of bait back up in the creeks, too. So, you know, it's, and I tell you what, I think it was Monday. What day was it last week? I can't remember what day it was. Maybe it was last, it was Monday. The water was super clear. I mean, just almost, you know, had that tainted amber color to it, but it was super clear, you know, and you could see a lot of fish. You could see sheep's head on the oyster bars, you know, you could see a redfish laid up on the corners of the creeks.
Wow.
You know, it was really cool, so, you know, and through a lot of the fish bites, again, that curly tail, that thing is money for me. You know, that dirty boxer in white is becoming my favorite bait. You know, I mean, we switched this week from shrimp to mud minnows. It seemed like the mud minnows were biting better, but if we weren't throwing mud minnows, throw that curly tail, I mean, it was game on. So it's really strange. You know, there's a lot of white trout around and some mangroves. So if you're throwing shrimp, a lot of times you're going to end up catching or getting bites on stuff you don't want. But you throw the mud minnow, it's a different story. So, real happy with the way that's worked out. You know, and I know a couple of people that had some pretty good topwater bites, too, surprisingly, when it warmed up. You know, we had those, what, 3 or 4 days of absolutely beautiful weather. And the bite was just fantastic. You know, now, I guess hopefully it'll start again come Monday when it warms back up. But we'll see. So how was it up north for you, Vic?
Well, I hadn't been in the last few days. Of course, we had pretty weather, so I didn't have a charter. You know, I'm surprised I didn't have one Thursday night, you know, or Friday morning in that, you know, in that big old wind we had yesterday morning. I mean, it was still blowing at my house like crazy, man.
And it blew all day like that.
Yeah.
You know, my client called me. He got stuck in Oregon trying to get through Charlotte. And they canceled the flights due to the tornadoes. And, you know, they had a lot of bad with that whole front line went straight up through the, you know, the southeast and further up north. But he said he couldn't get here. And I said, well, you don't really want to get here now. You know, they were going to fish with me and then play golf. And I'm like, you know, that's the pretty harsh weather that we have. You know, that's the last thing I want to deal with is that kind of weather.
And it was, what was it, Friday before last, I think it was, the 31st. I took Mark Fiegel and his brother and dad and all out, and, man, it was howling wind.
Yeah.
And, you know, cold and howling wind, and, you know, it was, like, so tough, you know, trying to get on fish. And then just, you know, the Thursday before that, it was, you know, went out and caught, you know, 13 reds in two places, and then we caught some trout. And, I mean, it, you know, it's... It's so up and down. It's so crazy. Now, I can tell you one thing. Whenever I left float fishing for trout and went on back into the river, there was places that I normally catch trout in the river that there was no use in even stopping the boat. I mean, I'd pull up there and look at it, and it looked like coffee with creamer in it. It's so muddy from the dredges. It was really bad, real bad. It was even bad at the bridge at Clapboard Creek.
Hey, Chip, where were you saying the water was pretty and clear and clean?
South of Palm Valley Bridge.
Okay.
And I actually fished one day, I think it was Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember, my days are getting flip-flopped. But actually, it was Monday. I fished south of Volano. Actually, fished from the rocks south, and the water was beautiful there as well. You know, it was really strange. It was weird because the water was really clean on the outgoing, the first of the turn, and then as the tide got higher and higher, it got a little dirtier. But I think some of that might have been some of the St. John's pushing all the way down and pushing back in. But and yesterday I noticed the tides were just super, super low.
Yeah. Did you fish yesterday?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just saying. Yeah, I went across the bridge. I was coming back from Home Depot yesterday. I went across Trout River on Lim Turner. And, I mean, I saw shoreline. You know, all those boats that are like on the, I call it the South Bank, all those houses along there. All the boats were way away from the water. I mean, they were in the mud. It was so low.
Well, I mean, it would have been if the wind was why it went low. Plus, you know, we have that big tide this weekend too.
Yeah.
They're calling for a 6.2 up north. When I say north, north of Sisters.
Yeah.
But then they're also calling for a super big low, and so we'll see if it actually floods out. I'm curious to see if the sheephead will get up on the grass.
Yeah, because it's supposed to turn northeast tomorrow. The winds are.
Yeah, but light. I think it's light, isn't it? Like 5-10 miles an hour.
National Weather Service, I just looked at the rain forecast showing 10 to 15 tomorrow, not in the northeast. Yeah, I haven't looked at Wind Finder yet to check it out. But I tell you, man, it's just crazy. It's some of this wind has been so calm this past week, and then for it to turn out like that. Looking at this, it's Wind Finder showing like 7 to 10 knots. So for tomorrow, that's not too bad. It's not even supposed to get up to 11 until like 4 p.m. 11 knots.
Well, we call NOAA. What is it? Not often accurate, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
That's pretty appropriate.
it is. it's like I tell my clients, don't listen to the weatherman or the radio or whatever until that day, because I made the mistake so many times of canceling trips.
Oh, yeah.
Get up the next morning and it's absolutely gorgeous and it doesn't transpire the way they think it will. But
that's like showing a wind forecast. I mean, they're showing Monday it turning out of the southeast, and then out of the south on Tuesday. Then kind of southwest on Wednesday and southwest on Thursday. But, they can't even hardly tell what it's going to do tomorrow, much less, next Thursday.
Yeah, that's true.
So, the wind is, I understand, it's a hard thing to forecast. But, it is what it is. And like you say, you shouldn't really cancel it until you get right there on it, that's what I tried to do. I've even had customers where I've been lucky enough to call them in the morning at 5 o'clock and say, okay, I'm looking at the radar, looking at the forecast now, and, let's go. Or I've also called them at 5 or 5:30 and told them to go back to bed.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Usually when we're sitting at the ramp. So.
Yeah. Well, have a safe trip up there, Chip.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks for the report.
Have a good day, Chip.
Thank you for calling, buddy.
See you guys. Bye.
All right, bye. And 222-8255, give us a call. We'll be back.
Yeah. If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Do you like offshore fishing? Team Buck Rogers Charters has been offering offshore charters in the Jacksonville-Mayport area since 2006. We offer any increment you like, from 4 hours up to 12 hours, and we can carry up to 6 people per boat. Large groups, celebrations, corporate events. Does your Sunday school class want to spend a day on the water? No problem. We have 3 boats that can each carry up to 6 people, so groups of up to 18 are welcome. If you have more than 18 people, we can still accommodate you by reaching out to some other great captains who we consider very close friends. If you're thinking offshore, think Team Buck Rogers. Call me, Captain Chad, at 904-502-7408 or book online at teambuckrogers.com. Also, please follow us on Facebook and YouTube at /Team Buck Rogers.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. I want to remind everybody that on Wednesday, February the 26th, I'm going to do a sheephead seminar. If everybody's not tired of listening to me talking about sheep's head, come on out and see us at 57 Heaven. That's at 1975 Wells Road. When you leave 295 and Blanding Boulevard, you go down to Wells Road, turn right, and it's the first building behind the firehouse subs and all. And so come on down and have some barbecue. Mark's going to cook some barbecue. He can cook some barbecue too.
Oh, mama.
And so, you know, the food's free and all that, but what he'd like for you to do is get on either his Facebook page and Mark Fiegel, F-E-A-G-L-E, Mark Fiegel Jr., and he's got a link there that you hit the Eventbrite. And just let him know for a head count how many people is going to be there. That's the main thing.
I haven't looked today. Has he sent that link out already?
It probably has, because I know.
I haven't looked yet today, but as of yesterday, I hadn't seen anything about it.
No, you hadn't? Have you been on his Facebook page?
No. Usually it comes out in my news feed because he's got me on distribution. So,
talking about that. Big full moon, supposed to be a super moon.
Ooh, that was. Man, native. I was like, holy moly.
And it's supposed to be tomorrow, actually, is the full moon. So, which is, I don't know if it's tonight or tomorrow night. It just says Sunday, you know, it's full moon, and I don't have an exact time or whatever. But, you know, some of the guys were saying that the first full, I mean, the first super moon we're going to have is like March the 4th or March the 9th. But anyway, the Native Americans used to call this the snow moon. The first super moon of the winter was snow moon. And because it was so big, and of course the ground was covered in snow, you can tell they're not, the Florida Indians didn't say that, but
yeah, they weren't like the Shoshone where they'd roll in the snow and get all covered with white and then sneak up on the guys at night. Yeah.
Well, this morning,
I don't think I could stand that.
It looked like the street lights were on in the backyard. It was that bright. You didn't need a flashlight.
Yeah.
I know. It went from a big moon with a big flat spot to all of a sudden, now it's like in one day it went from big flat spot to full, or looking full.
And the reason, if in case the listeners don't know, the reason they call them super moons is because that's when your moon is, you know, closest to the planet. That's where you have the super moon.
That's when it's super.
Yeah. And then instead
that's when you can reach it and go fishing when it's real close.
Instead of a regular full moon, you know. But, it's kind of funny because, you know, when you have these big moons like that, I mean, the tide difference is just, you know, so big. I mean, and like say you have a current and all that, if you're fishing outgoing tide at the jetties on the inside, it's going to be screaming out.
Yeah.
You know,
when I went Thursday, 2 hours after the low tide, it was still coming out.
Oh yeah.
The full moon.
And normal is a hour and a half, out there. And it depends on which way the wind's blowing, but the normal tide difference, you know, at the Mayport jetties, when it says it's, if it says it's high tide at 8 o'clock, then it's going to turn around at 9:30 on the surface, you know? And so that's a normal thing. The tide's dropping starting at 8 o'clock, you know, if the high tide's at 8 o'clock that particular day, you know, but it's even though it's going to start dropping and getting lower on the rocks, you really don't see the tide on the surface, like the boats don't turn around for an hour and a half. Now depending on the wind, sometimes it is 2 hours and sometimes it's only an hour. If you've got a west wind and you've got an incoming tide and you've got a pretty strong west wind, it'll turn it around an hour and start blowing it back out, you know.
But, well, I've been out there with you before, and those rocks where you could tell the water was coming up, the tide was coming in, but yet the tide was still ripping out of there, going out.
Yeah.
If you just watch it like that, the only way you could tell it was coming in
is just watch the rocks. Yeah. It's kind of weird how that happens a lot of times, but you know, it'll do the same thing down there at like at the Danes Point Bridge. When we're fishing around the Danes Point Bridge, you can be down there and it's 3 hours difference from Mayport tide, and I'm using Mayport as the degaussing structure, is what I've always used to base it on. I just grew up doing that because, I mean, that's what they used to print in the Times Union. You know, that's when the Times Union used to have tides in it, and that was the way we got our tides before the internet, you know, so that was the only way you could get them, you know. So at that period of time, you know, they were using the degaussing structure there at Mayport. And so we would always base, you know, my dad and I would base where we fish at from that tide chart. And to this day, I'm kind of old school guy, I guess you could say, because I don't have the tide apps on my phone, you know, because a lot of times it'll tell you it's high tide, like at the Danes Point Bridge, and the tide's still coming in for another 2 hours. But at the Danes Point Bridge, you can see a big difference over there, because once that tide is still coming in, you can look at the grass and see that the water's dropping. And before it actually turns to start going out, you'll actually see dirt at the bottom of the grass. I mean, that's how much it's already dropped before it turns down there. And it's kind of weird, you know, how that happens. You can go to the mouth of Dunn's Creek, which is, you know, inshore even more. You know, what's that, probably a mile and a half.
Yeah.
Probably a mile from the Danes Point. And sometimes you could go there and be fishing the Danes Point, and it's coming in, and you go down near Dunn's Creek, and it's going out, and then you come back to the Dane's Point and it's still coming in. So it's kind of how, I don't know if it's the way the river turns, the way the channel is in there. Maybe it's back river, coming around Blunt Island. Who knows what is causing that, but
I've seen what you're talking about. Yeah, it is strange.
It's strange in that area right mm-hmm. there, but you can look at the Gauzic structures. If it says it's going to be high tide at Mayport at 8 o'clock, it's not going to be, the tide is not going to turn around at the Dane's Point Bridge until 11. Although, the water's going to be dropping by about 9:30.
Yeah.
You know, it's already going to be dropping.
Well, that should, knowing how those tides work like that,
mm-hmm.
planning your day, day before, I try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do is look at that tide, knowing how that works, like mm-hmm. you're talking about, you can plan your day for different species of fish.
You know,
like we were talking about earlier, how those low tides, real low tides, empty the water out of the back creeks,
mm-hmm.
pushes the redfish into those little channels.
Yeah.
Well, knowing that, you'll know by what time the tides are and how they act, when to hit those spots.
Yeah.
And then you just get out a map and mark your spots, and mm-hmm. just knowing that how it works like that, you can catch more fish.
And a lot of times you get up to creek mouths, you know, and talk about, fishing creek mouths on the outgoing tide. You can go up there at the first of the outgoing, and those fish have still got plenty of water up in there, especially mm-hmm. when you have flood tides.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to move out of there right then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might catch one straggler here and there or something, but you know, when that tide gets about, like I always say, when those oysters start showing about 2 inches or so, those fish are on the move.
Mm-hmm.
And when those fish get on the move, that's when I like to target them. You know, I like to get that tide down low enough that it's going to start forcing them out of these places and forcing them out into the main channels, things like that, you know.
There's a place up in St. Augustine is behind the airport there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of oyster beds
airport in
there.
Creek?
I don't know what they call it. I just went up in there one day with my little skiff,
yeah.
and there was oyster beds all in there, and the mm-hmm. tide was up over the top of them and throwing a top water across the top of those oyster beds. Mm-hmm. That's fun, catching mm-hmm. some reds in there. There's plenty of reds in there.
I was actually surprised when Chris and I went down there to get my trailer worked on it. You know, we launched the boat and there at Volano, and then I took the trailer over to Chuck Dykes, First Coast Trailers, and he, you know, put the new bunk boards on it and stuff. When I came back, Chris and I went fishing for a little while just to, you know, waste some time till he finished the trailer. And we went in and actually found some mangroves, and I was kind of surprised
yeah.
at that. And you were too.
You knew I was like flipping out because they used to be down way down south toward Devil's Elbow.
Mm-hmm. But I hadn't seen them in that area. I mean, I fished that area, you know, in the past, and I hadn't seen them mm-hmm. in that area, you know. It's kind of funny, though, when Leon Dana come driving up, he's like, what in the world are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
He thought I was trying to take over his fishing spot. 222-8255. We'll be back.